Coming up on today's show...
If I look at my sport as gift that I am handing back to God, the joy that I experience as God reaching out to me, and I'm supposed to then connect with him there, my play can become prayer.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. To the victor go the spoils, huh? For some athletes, winning is not enough. They want to know what comes with it. A trophy? A bonus? A trip? Endorsements? A new contract? But what about another expression, win at all costs? Is that same athlete deserving of those rewards if they cheated their way to the top? If they broke rules, used performance-enhancing drugs, cut corners, engaged in an act during gameplay that they hoped would escape the referee's eye? Similarly, in our everyday lives, are we looking for fame and glory? Are we looking for riches, yet sinning at all costs to acquire such? Or are we being sure to play fair in sports, in our households, at our jobs, and everywhere else we walk as Catholic Christians in our daily life? In temptation, let us be guided by an Old Testament passage, Psalm 73, verse 1, which tells us, quote, "How good is God to the upright, to those who are pure of heart." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played 4 years of varsity hockey at St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland, and then played 4 years of club hockey, two at Division II and two at Division I, at St. Louis University. After his playing days, he served as varsity hockey assistant coach and JV baseball assistant coach at St. John's Jesuit in Toledo, Ohio, for 1 year. He returned to his alma mater and served in a variety of roles: JV head coach for 8 years at St. Ignatius High School, varsity hockey assistant coach for 1 year, 2 years coaching JV soccer and JV baseball, and 3 years of freshman baseball. At St. Ignatius, he has created and directed the Sports and Arts Chaplaincy Program. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Drew Valinsky.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
Absolutely, absolutely, Drew. After an intro like that, I'm going to be surprised if you tell me somewhere other than Cleveland. But Drew, start us off by sharing where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Yeah, born on the south side of Cleveland in Parma, Ohio. Two loving parents, and I am the youngest of two. I have an older sister.
I do know that you are a cradle Catholic. Share with us about the presence of the faith in the Valinsky household when you were a young boy.
Yeah, Catholicism was the air that we breathed. It wasn't something that we talked about much, but it was presumed that we'd be at Mass at Holy Family Parish on Sundays. The laughing picture of Jesus right next to the front door and the blessing of my parents' wedding from the Pope were hung on the walls, and that's just what it was. Moreover, a bunch of My friends on the block, the kids that I had played football on the street with and wiffle ball in their backyards, they went to the same church that I did and the same Catholic grade school that I did. So it was just what we did. I mean, there wasn't deep conversations about the faith. But even when we traveled, like my family was lucky enough to go on vacations. Both of my parents were teachers, so at Christmas and at Easter. And so I know where the churches are in Siesta Key, Florida, and in Hilton Head, because every time that we went somewhere, we would go to Mass. It was the unspoken given.
That's awesome. But wait a minute, though. The blessing of my parents' wedding by the Pope?
Yeah.
What
well,
was
they got
that?
The certificate. Right. They got the certificate. And then, have you ever seen them? There's like the 10th anniversary or 25th anniversary or 40th anniversary where you got the picture of the Pope in the middle and then something along the lines of his blessings, and it's got the major cathedrals of Rome on the outside of it. So
wow.
My family, my parents, my grandparents, my sister, I, because I'm happily and luckily married, we all have those up at our house. Like I said, we just take it for granted. So that's not something that a bunch of folks have.
Well, I'm going to ask the audience, is that something that a bunch of folks have? And this is me learning about it for the first time. Let's maybe share those pictures. I'm thinking on Facebook, on the Facebook page, or maybe in the Facebook group. This is interesting and a good opportunity for audience participation. It has been quite some time since we had a guest on the show whose sport is or was hockey. And wow, have you more than made up for that with all the playing and coaching that you've done. Drew, how did you first get started into the sport? And was hockey, in fact, the only sport that you played?
Oh, thanks for asking. It was my parents threw my sister and I into everything. Their thought, I think, was A, get us out of the house, but B, expose us to a bunch of stuff and we'll eventually find our niche. And so I was taking skating lessons at the local rink. And when I got to put on hockey skates, I loved it. And it was time to level up, get the next badge, and I had to put on figure skates, and I refused. I didn't want to. I liked the idea of hockey skates. My dad, I was all of 4 or 5 years old, my dad said, "Do you want to play hockey?" I said, "Absolutely." My dad, being a high school teacher, knew a bunch of folks who were part of the local hockey organization. And it was from there right into the day, the love affair with the sport. Now, I played a bunch of things. I remember being really proud as a CYO kid. There was one year where I played like 7 different sports.
Whoa.
Hockey ended up being the one that I was best at. So that's the one I kept on going with.
Well, I think if somebody said, "Bruce, you absolutely have to pick one. I know you love so many sports, but you got to pick your favorite." I think it was always hockey from a little boy. And to me, now I'm going to date myself, I can remember when there were the Cleveland Barons in the NHL, but Drew, you're younger than me, and there was no NHL team there. So I'm just fascinated to hear that you did go to hockey. You were pulled to that sport despite the absence, I'm going to say, of a pro team. I mean NHL. I don't know. Was there a minor league hockey team in Cleveland in your years there?
When I was in high school, we had the Lumberjacks, and they were a IHL team that did really well, which was great. But the reality is, like, Cleveland has a long history of, like, professional hockey. The Barons played in the Elysium, which was, like, in downtown Cleveland. It was the largest sheet of ice in North America, and they packed it. They were invited to play in the NHL during the war years because they were selling out, and the NHL saw like this franchise as one
cool.
that could go. But like because of that too, and the Barons are an older franchise, there is an infrastructure in Cleveland akin to Buffalo where there are rinks all over the place. There's a deep youth hockey league. So I got brought up in all of that. But also when I was 6, Pittsburgh being the closest city, I remember my dad handing me a card saying, "There's this Mario Lemieux guy. He plays over in Pittsburgh. Why don't we follow his career?"
So nice.
That worked out really well for me.
It worked out really well for 66, too. Mario had a heck of a career. Let's talk about your formation a little bit. Tell us about a month-long mission trip that you went on to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, my high school is an exceptional place. It's a place where the Holy Spirit flows really freely. And when I was a sophomore, we had a student gathering. My high school is, it's all guys. And back then we would have had 1250 guys. We had a student body gathering where four kids had 45 minutes to speak to the entire student body about their experience going on a service trip to the Dominican Republic. And hearing what they were talking about and the way that they were living with families and digging latrines, it sounded like something that I wanted to do and was called to. So there is an application process. I applied, and I ended up going on that trip in between my junior and senior year.
Well, you said digging latrines, and I think you're half kidding there, because the half serious part is, no, they really said that, and yet something pulled you that way anyway. So what was it when you got down there that really moved you to realize that, hey, my Catholic faith is more important than I already thought it was?
Thanks for asking the question. Our Catholic faith shows us accompanying the poor and discovering Christ in and through the other, especially the poor and vulnerable, and being the face of Christ for them. I had learned those things in my theology classes in high school, and here was this opportunity. So I went down and I lived with a family of five or six, and spent my mornings and my evenings with them, playing Uno, talking about life in the Spanish that I was able to crack out. And then during the day, we laid bricks, and there were Dominican bricklayers who showed us what we needed to do. Actually, I shouldn't say we laid bricks. I carried bricks. I carried bricks, and I carried sand, and the engineers, they laid the bricks. I helped thatch roofs. It was a bunch of manual labor that simply needed to be done. And I had hands, legs, and a strong enough back and was able to do it. So seeing how being with people who did not have nearly as much as I had and spending time with them, those pregnant moments where there's nothing going on, opened me up to a way of living, a way of being and experiencing Christ in the other that up until then was theoretical. And now, like, all right, this is it. Moreover, the appreciation that people offered for simple help, because we were putting roofs on thatch houses that the person couldn't do it him or herself. They needed a hand. It was extraordinary. So the relational aspect of service came through full bore there, and to see Christ and discover him in the other, especially the poor and vulnerable, was amazing. And it launched me into the service and the way I've encountered folks since then.
Well, and you weren't trying to win a hockey game, but it was a team coming together for a common goal, and seeing that finished roof, that's victory right there, but it fills you up entirely different from, okay, we won the game, that was great, and we have another one tomorrow, you know, or another one the day after tomorrow. It's an entirely different experience. And while we're on this theme, your entire education, actually, elementary school, high school, college, was all Catholic. But I want to focus on your years at St. Louis University, because you were playing hockey there to the tune of the team twice qualifying for the American Collegiate Hockey Association National Championships, and your coaches awarding you the Bill Selman Spirit of the Game Award twice. There's a potential teaching moment here. What did you do to stay disciplined in the sense of remaining dedicated to your Catholic faith so that you did not get caught up in, hey, I'm away from home, I'm succeeding as a hockey player, and just college life in general?
I would attribute it to the foundation that my family gave me. Like, my mom and dad, cradle Catholics themselves, like, their faith mattered to them. We would pray before dinner. We went to Mass. I mean, though they didn't talk about it, they were involved in their church. And so my grade school, the Sisters of the Incarnate Word, that taught me, reinforced that. And I saw more lived examples of this faith. When I went to St. Ignatius, my high school, I saw the Jesuits and met them for the first time and got more lived examples of it, not just in the men who were in the order, but in the lay people at the school. And so it was natural to me then, A, to go to a Jesuit college, St. Louis U, but then B, to continue to live out that faith in college. The happiest people that I met, the brightest people that I met, were practicing Catholics, were people who took the time to get in front of the Eucharist, to go to confession, to pray before they ate meals. And so
that just seemed like, well, this is what you do. And I was lucky enough to be on a team with our head coach, John Bosch. We prayed before practice. We prayed before games. It was part of what we did. And so I was in an environment that made it easy to continue to practice the faith. That's not to say that like everything was roses and all that. That's not to say that either A, I didn't have my challenges, or B, we as groups didn't have ours. Of course we did. But it wasn't looked down upon or anything odd.
There's something that you said in there that, again, a potential teaching moment. You were seeing others around you. So there is also an opportunity to be an example to others. And that's easier said than done, because when you're college age and you are away from mom and dad and you're on campus and there's the temptation of getting caught up in the college lifestyle, but you opted to say, I'm going to just continue to practice what I've always done. And in the process, unbeknownst to you at the time, you were becoming an example to others who were saying, well, I see everyone else around me going to Mass. I see everyone else around me going to confession. I see my coach leading us in prayer. So there were plenty of opportunities to be influenced in the right direction. And if you're someone who is the parent of a college student, you have an opportunity to influence in that way. Maybe this is a story that you want to share with them, what you're hearing from Drew. By the way, I mentioned this last week, but I'm certainly not going to assume that everyone hearing my conversation today with Drew Valinsky listened last week. So I want to share this again. Alliance Catholic Credit Union created Alliance Catholic Foundation to increase opportunities to minister to the community. If you are interested in promoting Catholic culture, become a friend of the foundation. When you join online, you will receive a welcome packet and have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. My guest today, calling in from Cleveland, Ohio, is Drew Valinsky, director of the St. Ignatius Sports and Arts Chaplaincy Program. And this is Catholic Sports Radio, episode 347. That number brings up the question, have you ever wondered what it takes to keep this show going every week for now more than 6.5 years? The late Catholic priest and spiritual writer Henry Nouwen said that asking for support is not begging. It is inviting someone into the work God is doing. Catholic Sports Radio is my ministry. 6.5 years of weekly episodes, not as my job, but as my calling, but I cannot do it alone. When you give, you are saying yes to keeping Christ in the conversation around sports. You are becoming part of the mission. Please prayerfully consider making a one-time gift through the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or contact me via Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net or social media or through the website for details on sending a check. Together, we can keep proclaiming the good news in every arena. Terry Malone, the guest from way back on episode 239 in August of 2023, just sent me a financial gift and said, quote, I have enjoyed following your amazing group of diverse people on your show, end quote. I did email him, but now this is my sincere public thanks for that kind offering. And with your permission, I will say your name too, just like I'm doing with Terry Malone, on an upcoming episode as a public thanks when you send in a contribution and, as Henry Nouwen said, come into the work God is doing. Drew, let's dig into all that you are doing at St. Ignatius High School. First, explain to the audience what the Sports and Arts Chaplaincy Program is.
Yeah, here's the quick elevator pitch of it. Sports, because there's so much. But in the exact same way that a football coach should know every single aspect of his team, but is also going to have an offensive coordinator, because offense is so important. We need somebody to drill down on that and to make that his or her own. At St. Ignatius, we have 20 people who run the chaplaincies for 25 different teams and performing arts that help invite kids to know Christ in and through their sport. The idea is, like, all of our coaches are phenomenal men and women. They do a brilliant job, and they know their faith well, but they're also really, really busy with setting up schedules and communicating with people and building the less or the game plans and building practice plans. And at times, the reality is they would miss the opportunities that are there in sport where God is deeply present to the kids. And so we have chaplains whose sole purpose it is to accompany kids in the sport where they are, and then to help unveil how God is present and how Christ is calling to them in and through that sport. Our chaplains set up stuff from the daily, weekly, or the weekly chapel talks to blessing of the sticks. They do work with kids who are cut. They do work with guys who are injured. They set up like team masses. They'll have reflections that are done. There's a bunch of things that they do, both in front of the lads and behind the scenes to help their seasons be what we as a Catholic school say they should be, ones where they operate with their faith on the field or on the wrestling mats or in the rink.
Now, we recently had Drew Haddad on this show. That was June 2nd, episode 331. For those of you that did not hear that one, he was a wide receiver chosen by Buffalo in the NFL draft and went on to play not only for the Bills, but with the Indianapolis Colts and then the San Diego Chargers. He actually is a graduate of St. Ignatius High School and has been inducted into their Athletic Hall of Fame. But Drew, it sounds like Drew was probably gone before this sports and arts chaplaincy program began. I believe you, well, I'm not going to say how many years. Tell the audience when you started this up and what inspired you to start it when you did.
So yeah, Drew wasn't a student when we started this. Drew actually is a year younger than I. So I graduated, then Drew graduated, and I got to watch him. Like, man, he was good. He was really good. In part, the chaplaincy program came out of a few things. I came back to the school, and I wanted to know, like, how are we inviting kids into the faith through sports? We say that we are, and I saw it happening in an ad hoc way. Our head football coach, Chuck Kyle, was doing it, no doubt about it. But what happens when Chico leaves, or our head soccer coach, Mike McLaughlin, who's incredible? Mike was doing it, but what happens when Mike leaves?
Mm.
So I wanted to see, like, is there an institutional way that we can do this? Moreover, the reality was that there were less and less Jesuits on campus. And so I remember, like, Father Ken Stiles being at the end of the bench when I was playing hockey at school. But he was at the school, but no longer able to come to hockey games. I remember Father Augustino and Father Ober being around, but those guys were no longer at the school. So how do we take this experience that kids are having and show them that God's reaching out to them in and through that? That became the modus operandi, my marching orders. Like, what does this look like? And so I started to do stuff with my teens in an organized way. Like, how can we invite them to know Christ through hockey, through baseball, through soccer? And then I started to make pitches to people that I knew saying, like, hey, what do you think? Would you want a chaplain, somebody to work with your guy? So it grew very organically, slowly and organically, but intentionally to where we are today. So now, while we do have some Jesuits who are chaplains, the majority of our folks are lay people. And that's unique. I've done some research. I've actually gone to Rome and talked to some people at the Dicastery for Culture and Education, and sports falls underneath that. And the idea of lay people being the chaplains is something very, very different in our church for the high school level. Moreover, in North America, I've talked to a number of schools and places and all, we're doing something that is somewhat original and is starting to spread.
I love it.
So, yeah, it's a beautiful way to connect people as living out their call to be priest, prophet, and king just by their baptism. And so we have people living that out as lay folks and showing our kids the absolute deep value that they're finding in sports. Because, like, my buddies, when I was in high school, like, we would wake up at 5:30 in the morning to go play hockey. We wouldn't wake up at 5:30 in the morning to go to math. But to leverage their love of hockey, their love of basketball, their love of soccer, to show them how God's reaching out to them in that. And then that becomes an inlet to go to Mass. That becomes an inlet to engage with the church. That's what we're attempting to do at our best.
So good. So good. You and I met at the start of last month in Waco, Texas, at the 4th Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, and you were kind enough to give me a very special book. Explain to the audience, though, about the significance of the number 34 at St. Ignatius High School.
So number 34 was worn by a son of St. Ignatius, a guy by the name of Jim Skrull, who was an incredible teacher here for over three decades. Jimmy was an amazing man who started, like, we have a pallbearers society at school where our lads, they go and they attend funerals and they bury the dead. We have a ministry to people affected by homelessness where we go underneath bridges and over railroad passes to find people where they are on Sundays and to share a meal with them and to share companionship. Mm. Jimmy started a number of those things. Plus, he was an amazing and excellent teacher. Unfortunately, 11 years ago, Jimmy lost a fight with prostate cancer. And Jim died, and the school was looking for, what is a way that we can honor Jim? Well, Jim was an athlete during his tenure here at St. Ignatius, and he went to John Carroll. He was a basketball player, and Jimmy wore the number 34 at home games here at Ignatius. So our school decided to retire the number 34 at the freshman and the JV levels. But at the varsity level and in the performing arts, if a kid had or has the traits that Jimmy had, where Jimmy was service-oriented, he was Eucharistic-centric, he was joyful, he was invitational. If we see that in a kid, then that kid gets to wear the number 34. And he is tasked with emulating that to his teammates, to inviting them into what the school sees him and our Catholic faith throughout their season, but then outside of that. And that's led to some extraordinary stories of guys organizing like groups of seniors on the team to go out and do service in season, or guys bringing guys to Eucharistic adoration, inviting them to Eucharistic adoration, and fellows will come. Mm. So we've been giving the award now for 11 years. And last year, on the 10th anniversary of Jimmy's death and the award, we had a banquet, and 250 folks showed up, alumni who had received the awards. They brought their families and parents. It was extraordinary the way that, much like a saint inspires other people to come to know Christ. Now, through the stories of Jim Skrull, they're turning into the stories of Flynn Lenihan and Matthew McLaughlin, ways to invite other folks to Christ. So it's a huge award at our school. It's a way to acknowledge and to invite guys to be the men that God is calling them to be, which is extraordinary.
Whew. And another number 34 was Walter Payton from the Chicago Bears. And audience, while I was in Waco, I sat down and recorded episode 342 with Brandon Alleman, who runs Live in You. And go back and listen to that. It was just last month, August 18th, again, episode 342. Brandon talked a lot about what Walter Payton's mindset was and how Brandon has adopted that, how he's using it in what he's doing through Live in You. Drew, if I have this correct, what you were doing at St. Ignatius High School is kind of being mirrored in work that you also do for the Diocese of Cleveland CYO?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. At a conference, I met a number of folks who work in the Diocese of Cleveland CYO, and it's huge. They will have, this year, over 20,000 kids will play underneath the umbrella of Diocese of Cleveland CYO.
Wow.
On any given weekend during the winter, there'll be 940 basketball games that go off. So it is the single largest youth ministry in the diocese. And in talking to the people who run it, Dobie Mosier, Marianne King, Paul Kelly, also the director, I've been asked to create a sports ministry that's geared toward kids from the eighth grade down to the third grade, and figure out what does that look like? How can we use their experience in sports to invite them into their faith, to know, love, and serve Christ more deeply? So that's their vision for it, and it's my job to try to implement that vision.
And here's a little bit of Catholic Sports Radio trivia. Dobie Mosier is one of a very, 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 very few people who have actually been on this show twice. He was on episode 255 and episode 120. So audience, if you never heard those, if you want to hear more about what Drew just teased us with, all that the Diocese of Cleveland is doing through CYO, go back and listen to episodes 255 and 120. We're in the home stretch here, but Drew, tell us about both a Eucharistic-centered hospital ministry that you ran, as well as an athletic retreat for faculty and staff that you ran.
Sure. We had something called the St. Camillus Fraternity here at Ignatius for a while. A Jesuit started it, and then he had to move on in its formation, so I took it over for 5 years, where our lads would go to one of Cleveland's hospitals, Metro Hospital, and we would have a list of all of the Catholics who were there long-term, middle run and long-term. And our lads would come in and start up a conversation, just talk with folks and see how they're doing. The idea being, so many times when somebody enters a hospital room, it's to poke, it's to prod, it's to gather data. And no matter how great our doctors and nurses are at the personal aspect of their jobs, and they're phenomenal, somebody coming in who just wants to accompany and has nothing to offer other than time, like, that can go a long way for someone.
Yeah, wow.
And so our lads would do that, and then eventually, if as they read the room, they thought the person could come to Mass, they would invite them to come down to Mass. And so over the course of 5 years, we had guys helping people in wheelchairs or pushing hospital beds down to a Mass that we would have on the seventh floor, which was phenomenal. And the helipad where the helicopters landed for Life Flight was right outside. So Father Art Snedeker, when the helicopter was coming down, would pause Mass. We'd say a prayer for whoever was in the helicopter and coming out of it. It was a phenomenal experience of our faith in action.
And then the athletic retreat that you ran for faculty and staff, what was that?
Yeah, it was, in one sense, the crystallization of a bunch of the reflections that our lads have been doing through the ministry or through our chaplaincy programs. We make the argument based off of the Jesuit model of finding God in all things and the principle and foundation. The first part of the spiritual exercise is the retreat that St. Ignatius writes, that everything is meant to pull us back into relationship with God, and therefore to save our souls. So with that view, sports can become prayer. If I look at my sport as gift that I am handing back to God, the joy that I experience as God reaching out to me, and I'm supposed to then connect with him there, my play can become prayer. Not to the exclusion of the Eucharist, not to the exclusion of the sacraments, but it's something that supplements and helps buffer those things. And so the retreat explored that and explored the experiences that people found of community, of joy, of suffering in sports, because each and every one of those is meant to lead us back to God. A loss is a miniature passion. A great win can be, if we did it the right way, a small taste of heaven. When we play and we're in the zone and like time just disappears and you play for like Bruce growing up in Buffalo, like playing outside on a sheet of ice for a couple of hours and you lose all sense of time, and that it just seems to go by, 3 hours disappear and feels like a minute. That movement, I would contend, that's prayer. That's entering into the ineffable mystery of God. And how connected you are with a teammate when you make beautiful passes, when you have a play that comes together. Well, there's Christian community. So the retreat explored a bunch of those things for people here, the adults here at St. Ignatius.
You said in there, a win can be if we did it the right way. And there's the Holy Spirit intercessing in this conversation, as we know the Holy Spirit does every week on Catholic Sports Radio, because audience, I say it a lot, the guest does not know what I'm going to say during the ministry moment, and lo and behold, for Drew to say what he did, it ties back in nicely with what I said earlier before I brought him on. Drew, let's close by having you share about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the very special daughter that the two of you have.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to be married to Kirsten for 15 years, and I think she would say the same of me. So we're really, really blessed
to know her. We met later in life through a friend set us up, or a couple of friends set us up on a blind date. And before we were married, we had talked about adoption. We felt called to have kids. We felt that that's part of our marital vow. And whether we can or can't conceive biologically, that adoption would be a possibility. And although there's nothing that said that we can't conceive biologically from a doctor's perspective, it was just taking some time. And so we were gracious enough to pursue adoption. Now, it was a difficult process and a hard one and a long one, but we ended up getting to meet our daughter, Therese, when she was a day old. She's from Los Angeles. I was on my way, actually, I was the chaplain of a baseball team, and I was about to ride my bike to a ball game to be with the lads, because that chaplaincy is a ministry of presence in part, when we got the phone call that, hey, your daughter's born, it's time to go.
Wow.
We dropped a ridiculous amount of money, flew and got ourselves to LAX at like 12 in the morning, and met our daughter the next day.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. My gosh, my gosh. Well, Drew, this has been so wonderful. I'm really glad that we got to have you on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you for your time and all the work that you're doing at St. Ignatius High School, and God bless you and your family.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure, my pleasure. And audience, as a nod to all the years that Drew spent playing hockey, it's fitting that we close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer. So let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help me to play the game, dear Lord, with all my might and main. Grant me the courage born of right, a heart to stand the strain. Send me a sense of humor, Lord, to laugh when victory is mine, to laugh if I should meet defeat without a fret or whine. Give me the grace to follow rules, to fess up when I am wrong, when silence or some other thing wins plaudits from the throng. When foes are tough and fighting fierce and I am getting weak, dear God, don't ever let me show a broad, bright yellow streak. And teach me, Lord, life's game to play just one day at a time. With thee as coach and trainer, Lord, real victory must be mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.